Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, August 1st, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I have a couple of people with you today to talk to us about a couple of interesting topics. And the first of those people is John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Glad to have you with us. I'm sorry about why, and we'll get to that in a second. Brian Chaffin is with me today as well. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here.
Glad to have you with me. And also, again, for something sort of unfortunate. And the deal is the two of you are both affected by this CBS and AT&T / DirecTV standoff that's happening right now. And John, you are affected because you are a cable satellite customer of DirecTV.
DirecTV Dish satellite customer, not DirecTV now. I have a Dish, and we're in our, I think, something like 12th or 13th day. CBS went off the air on DirecTV on July 19th. Mm-hmm. Normally, these kinds of things are settled reasonably quickly. You know, there's a period of standoffishness and posturing and trying to get public opinion on their side. And then the public starts ranting and raving and complaining to both sides. And then they just start negotiations, and then there's more posturing. And usually within a week or 10 days, it's over.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow.
CBS is playing hardball this time. And I think I know why.
Well, let's get to that. Brian is also affected because, Brian, you are a DirecTV Now customer, which means you use exclusively the streaming offering from them, right?
Correct. I do that through my Apple TV.
Okay. And you are also affected. You're not getting any of the CBS content that you were getting before, and this affects you.
Yeah, but the only thing I watch on CBS is Colbert. But I did watch it regularly, and so I am definitely cranky.
Yes, I would be too. I like Colbert. I think that may be the only thing I watch on CBS, so I would notice because I watch it almost every night. But otherwise, I don't think I would be too terribly impacted. Now, John, you have a theory about why the ball that CBS is playing is so hard right now, yeah?
Yeah, I read an article recently that CBS All Access subscriptions were surging. And apparently there's a lot of people who are desperate to get their CBS back for one reason or another, mm-hmm. some favorite show or Colbert or something else, as Brian mentioned. And that is causing them to go in with $6.99 a month or with commercials, or $9.99 without commercials, CBS All Access subscription. Mm-hmm. And as long as those subscriptions are surging, and as long as CBS surmises that they want to go directly to the customer in the long run, and as long as there's an industry consensus that this streaming internet TV business is here to stay, and that eventually things like cable and satellite delivery with a middleman are going to go away, CBS is happy to start living in the future and get as many CBS All Access subscriptions as they can, play hardball with DirecTV, and extract as much money as they can from them. And if DirecTV wants to think about staying in the business of being in the middleman and having lots of happy customers, they're going to have to cave. So CBS is, in my mind, is in a strong position and is using CBS All Access as a weapon. And I believe I read that AT&T has even said that and complained about it. Mm-hmm. So that's where the future is. And I don't know. And this is a long hiatus.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's going to be any solution anytime soon. We might be without it for another 2 weeks.
Well, and the other piece of this that I wonder about, because there's a new factor here, and that is that you can get CBS All Access through your Apple TV. And yes. That's a new thing that's happening. So you don't have to go to the CBS website and sign up a bunch of stuff. And I know, John, initially you resisted signing up for All Access, even though you wanted to watch Star Trek, for that reason.
Yeah, it wasn't appealing to me to sign up for CBS All Access before, when I was thinking about going with Star Trek Discovery season two, because I'd watched season one after a year wait. Mm-hmm. But then I went to the app, which I downloaded to my Apple TV, and I started the install process just for the fun, the subscription process, and it wanted a whole lot of information. There was a whole page of information, name, address, phone number. You had to create a user account, username, password. It just seemed an unnecessary amount of information to provide them. Mm-hmm. Now you can, according to Andrew's article, you can do it within the Apple TV system and just simply click and add it to your Apple TV list and bill it to your Apple ID. And no fussing with accounts with CBS and all that jazz. Even with that, I don't feel really rushed because there's lots of other stuff I'm busy watching right now.
Right.
And I kind of feel like I don't like to be muscled and pressured.
Sure.
And eventually this dispute will settle out and I can decide whether I want CBS All Access just for Star Trek Discovery or not. Mm-hmm. But when people try to pressure me into things, I get very resistant.
So. Oh, sure.
No, no. No. Shut the front door.
Hard to believe.
Are you serious? I did not know that at all. Or wait, hold on. What's the other thing where I think everyone who knows you knows that? Right.
It's like Brian's ever met you.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
There is something called YouTube TV for like $30 or $40 a month. Mm-hmm. And with that, you get your local stations. Since this is a dispute between DirecTV and CBS, I assume if you signed up for YouTube TV, you would get your local ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS affiliates. Does anybody know for sure about that?
The YouTube service, I haven't used it or seen it for about a year and a half. But I was using it about a year and a half ago simply because my landlords had purchased it, much to my chagrin. The point is that it's really probably more of a competitor for Hulu Live than it is for, say, DirecTV or mm-hmm. Comcast. One of the things you're getting is original YouTube content.
But also, this has, I just went and looked it up to see what they would tell me. And it says live TV from 70 plus networks. It's $50 a month, 6 accounts per household. And it's it says live news, sports and shows from 70 plus channels. So I fed it my zip code and it gives me the CBS affiliate here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more than a lot more than was the case about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's a bunch. And then you can tack things on like AMC and Fox Soccer and Showtime and Stars. There's some other stuff that you can add on for an additional fee, like if you wanted to pay for that. So this feels like it's going up against DirecTV more than even Hulu. For $50 a month, but you get everything.
So now with 70 networks, I mean, if it's the 70 networks that you want, of course, you know, most people don't watch anywhere near that much, right. But if it has all the networks you want, yeah, I suppose it's a competitor, but Comcast, DirecTV are offering far more channels than that.
There might be 70 network affiliates available in total, but I think if you subscribe, it checks your zip code or your IP address, and then you get your local affiliates only. So if I subscribe to YouTube TV, I won't be watching CBS Portland. I'll be watching CBS Denver.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, here's my four local ones. And then, like, all the other channels I watch are on this list. So
here's another thing that annoyed me. I was reading AT&T's suggestions to customers. You know, we're working hard for you. They're trying to charge us an extra $2.5 billion, you know. We're protecting you. And by the way, if you really need CBS, here's the hoops you can jump through. And it has a little list, mm-hmm. you know, about going over the air or subscribing to CBS All Access even. And it just kind of made my heart sink to think about how they have to offer these suggestions instead of coming to terms with CBS. They have to tell you about, you know, go do this, you know, wire, get an antenna, go out to Best Buy and buy yourself an antenna. you know, while we negotiate vigorously on your behalf, if you really need CBS, you know, it's just, it just seemed weird. So, it just seemed weird to me.
There's two parties involved in this. And I made this, when we discussed this briefly the last time, I made this point then. CBS says that everybody else has already ponied up for their increased fees. And DirecTV says, or AT&T as the case may be, says, well, basically the rates that the CBS is asking for are, you know, effectively extortion. And we don't actually know which one of those parties is telling the truth, if either of them are. Has everyone else agreed to the exact same terms that CBS is asking DirecTV for? Maybe, maybe not. Like, we don't know. Or is CBS exaggerating when they, you know, is CBS actually asking more from DirecTV than they've asked for their other partners? And we don't know that either.
Right.
So I'm really hesitant to assign either of these parties the good guy or the bad guy. I'd much rather put a pox on both their houses.
Basically.
And, yeah. And, you know, don't even get me started about how bad the DirecTV Now app is on Apple TV. I'm a hair's breadth away from canceling that.
Yeah.
Should have probably already done it. And not getting Colbert is definitely edging me closer.
Yeah. I could see that. Well, especially if that was the only thing you watched in the first place on there. And it's probably one of only a handful of things that you watch regularly anyway.
Yeah, not sure about that, but it is definitely one of my regular shows. And my point is that AT&T seems like they're running DirecTV as if they don't care about DirecTV.
Yeah.
And that stands to reason to me.
Yeah, that story checks out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, AT&T doesn't care about DirecTV. And I think they're rebranding DirecTV Now as the AT&T Now, but I haven't seen that show up on my Apple TV yet.
I'm sure it will.
Just FYI.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think they care about it. Not too long ago, they completely redid. My mom is a DirecTV customer. She doesn't stay up late enough for Colbert, so she doesn't mind that. She doesn't get to watch him. But they redesigned everything in the DVR for the guide and everything. And she couldn't find a way to zoom it in. I couldn't find a way to help her zoom it in. And she couldn't read the guide on the TV screen. And she was at a moment where her cell phone contract was coming up. She's on Verizon. And she was thinking, like, maybe she'd switch to AT&T. And then she went, wait, but they also aren't. And I said, I called them and they, you know, I called AT&T and they said that they've changed to this new user interface and you can't go back. There's nothing you can do to change it. And there's no way to zoom it in to make it so you can actually read the guide anymore. And she said, well, I'm not giving them any more money. So my mom is actually still a Verizon customer because they screwed with her DVR. So,
yeah, fair enough. And, you know, the problem is that there just aren't that many great choices.
No.
Hulu Live is too limited. The YouTube thing is YouTube.
Yeah.
Right.
But it does have all the channels I watch. I'm like, YouTube. Given that a second look.
YouTube. Mm. Comcast is an evil, evil corporation.
Yes.
That does lots of horrible things. Like, I wish Apple would bring the a la carte service.
Yes.
I want that.
Please, Apple.
I would happily subscribe to something that lets me watch the History Channel in the background all day or the Science Channel. It's usually one of those two.
Yeah.
When I'm working, I've usually got one of those stations on in the background because I love all the content, even if I've already seen it.
Yep.
And that's, you know, like, that's a thing that's having a network on in the background is something that the traditional cable and satellite providers do that the streaming services don't tend to do, which they all tend to be show focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not about getting CBS. It's about getting Star Trek Discovery. It's not about getting YouTube. It's about getting Cobra Kai. It's not like it's never the point to just have that on all day. So I'm with you on that. But man, that YouTube Live, that's like half what I would pay Comcast, and I'm kind of thinking maybe that's an appealing option.
I would like to repeat my argument of YouTube.
Yes, I understand that. But this has at least made me think, I wonder if I know anybody who's subscribing to that, and if I could find out who they are and talk to them a little bit about it and see what's up, because maybe it's not the worst thing. And, you know, if I'm going to give TV part of my TV watching budget to evil anyway, maybe I'd rather it be YouTube than, you know, I mean, we're discussing flavors of evil, but, you know, maybe it would be better if it was YouTube than Comcast. I don't know. We'll have to see. If you use YouTube TV and want to tell me about it, or if you were also affected by this DirecTV, this AT&T CBS nonsense, we'll call it, so I don't have to edit the show, I would like to hear from you. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave a comment in the show notes. The other thing we want to talk about, speaking of companies that aren't particularly popular with us who make some very questionable decisions, there's a new ad from Microsoft about the Surface. Right, Brian?
There is, and I would like to start off with saying that Microsoft under Satya Nadella is a company that I largely applaud and approve of most of the things that they do. But this new ad is bad.
Bad.
It's just bad. It's just so, it's lame. It's so bad. All right. So you probably, the Mac faithful has probably encountered it already. It's called Meet McKinsey, quote unquote, MacBook. And MacBook says Surface lasts longer. And MacBook says this and MacBook says that. You get it? Because his name is Mac. His name is MacBook. Get it? I mean, it's this dude. His name is supposedly really MacBook, and that's fine. More power to him. And they ask him, so, you know, which is faster? And he tells us the Surface is faster than a MacBook Air. And then he tells us, he's asked which one has the better touch screen. And he says that the Surface has a better touch screen because the MacBook doesn't have a touch screen, which is just like super clever. And why do we care?
With trust me.
Man, people who say trust me are inherently untrustworthy. Only people who are not trustworthy use the phrase believe me and trust me.
And right, because they have to remind you that you should be. Yeah.
Or they have to convince you that you should be.
Right.
And if they have to convince you that they should be, there probably is a reason for that. Nonetheless, this guy seems like a nice, outstanding, upstanding feller and whatnot, but this commercial is so bad.
He's some dude.
It's the post-truth era. So if you're charming and you're authoritative and you smile and you look good and you say, trust me, that's all you need. You don't need any facts.
Well, the thing, when I went and watched this, the thing that I noticed about it was that there was only one thing they asked him that was like quantifiable, right? He said, how is the touchscreen?
Yeah.
Was like the only thing they asked that like made, that was a thing that was like a measurable thing, because lasts longer is kind of fuzzy. And then like,
oh, it may, the like, Surface may have a longer battery life.
Right.
Than
it may,
this
but
is a tried and true.
There's a lot of stuff there's a lot of stuff that you could do to make one of those things true. Like this, I could make the MacBook Air last longer. I could make the Surface last longer.
Comparison that the car dealers use, the car companies. Yeah. Like our Volkswagen Beetle has more headroom than a BMW 740i.
Right. So there was only one question they asked that was like a measurable, quantifiable question, because it was a binary question. And it was, how is the screen on the MacBook? The touchscreen. Well, there's no touchscreen on a MacBook.
Yeah. The actual question is which one's better, and he says, of course, Surfaces, because MacBook Air doesn't have one. But yeah. Nonetheless, it's a weird. So the Next Web has a breakdown, a teardown, a deconstruction of this piece that is absolutely hilarious. It actually, this deconstruction is so funny to me, it makes having watched Microsoft's commercial worth it.
I love this line from the author. It's so toe-curlingly, wake up in the night screaming awful. It's almost artful.
Yes.
Just watch it. Name is Callum Booth. And he notes, for instance, just because my last name is Booth doesn't mean I have anything, any understanding how phone booths or toll booths actually operate. You couldn't come to me if you were planning on upgrading a selection of traffic kiosks on the strength of my surname. I can categorically say that it'd be the worst mistake you'd ever make. My entire selection rationale would revolve around which booth I think looks the most bitchin', which unfortunately is no way to actually run a business. Anyway, funny teardown.
Super hard collective hat to Mr. Booth. Nice work, sir.
Yes, yeah. This was delightful. I actually did, sitting at my desk reading this piece, applaud at the moment when he said, there are certain movies I watch and think this is not the work of a person. No, this, friends, is the work of cocaine. And I'm getting the same energy from this advert. Yes. I'm with him 100% on that. And it was because, like, you think it's weird and it sort of feels kind of weird. And then you get to the very end where, like, the computer's on the counter and MacBook, like, pops up from behind the counter and you just see his head. And then he, like, gives a thumbs up and that's the end of the commercial. It's super weird, everybody.
Yeah, the whole commercial is just not funny. The Callum Booth's deconstruction is hilariously funny.
Yes.
You should watch the commercial and then go read it. I'm going to post a link to it on TMO because it's just that good. I'm not going to bother trying to deconstruct it myself because the work has already been done.
And it was delightful, to be fair. And so, yes, thank you. thank you ever so to Callum Booth for having written this, because it gave us some enjoyment. Absolutely brings balance to the force. I sat through that ad, but then it gave me the opportunity to read this article and know what all he was talking about. So it was pretty great.
Make sure you CC your article link to Satya Nadella, Brian. There's some house cleaning he has to do yet to make Microsoft an even better company.
Well, and you know, the thing I wonder about it is it sort of seems like they're picking a fight with Apple on this. And the reason I'm confused is because they haven't done that in a long time.
You know what it really feels like? It feels like a 7, 8, 10-year-old too late response to I'm a Mac.
Yeah.
Okay, I know what I'm going to say now. And what they're saying is not good.
No. And you know, that's what I wondered, because like I've looked at, you know, some of the other ads and I've like not hated the ads recently with the Surface, where they're like, you know, I'm this person and I can carry my computer around with me and use it in all these interesting ways as part of my job. And that's really cool. And I'm like, all right, like I didn't hate those ads. They didn't make me personally want to buy a Surface, but they were interesting. And it was interesting to see how the particular use cases that they came up with were things that where the Surface fit in really well with what they were doing. So, hey, all right. And that's why, like, this all of a sudden out of nowhere feels extra tone deaf, because they've been doing a lot of their own, like, here's a Surface and how it's awesome ads for a while now.
And it's nice to know that this guy, Mr. Book, took acting lessons too, because he just comes across as so stellar and so sparkling in his personality during the commercial.
Listen,
I was Book, so impressed with his enthusiasm and his upbeat approach.
Mr. Book seems like a very, very nice guy. I'm not dinging on him. Yeah. And bless him for having to go through life with the name of MacBook.
Yes.
I mean, right? This is not a ding on Mr. Book. This is a ding on the commercial, the premise of the commercial, the execution of the commercial.
Yeah.
It's just the whole thing is ridiculous. I wonder if...
But he was so deadpan that it just punctuated the dullardness of the commercial. I mean, aside from... like you said, I'm not casting any aspersions on the fellow. He's a nice guy, apparently. But the way he comes across in the commercial doesn't do anything to help the commercial's cause.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, if I were him, I would not go. I would make everyone
a little more tongue in cheek or a little bit more amusing or cheerful. Maybe it wouldn't have been such a downer.
I think if I were him, I would either insist everyone called me Mackenzie or I would go by my middle name.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe his middle name is
Jeff.
Oh, okay. No, I was gonna. I like almost had something really clever.
Oh, okay.
But then I didn't. But unfortunately, you already recorded the bit where I didn't, so I can't really take that back.
Just say
his middle name is T2 Chip.
I was gonna say his middle name is Nokia, and you could just edit that in if you. I can edit that in for you. If you
now no one will know. We'll just do it that way.
All right. That sounds awesome. All right. That's going to do it for us for today. Brian, thank you so much for coming by.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us.
And John, thanks so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I have been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.